Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here it go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Beautiful, beautiful. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, organizer Lily Pettit. It's about time somebody cleaned up this show. Plus, last night, Paula and I viewed the original Predator movie. We'll tell you whether the upcoming sequel is worth leaving your couch for. Reduce your thermal signatures now. I'm Adam Felber. Call me Dutch. Or call me Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm the one trying to organize the Special Forces advice team here. And now, please welcome the woman who won't follow any orders, especially from a man named Dutch, Paula Poundstone. Welcome. That's great. Thank you, Paula.
Nice.
And thank you to tonight's house band, tuba player Doug Turnquist. Listeners at home, you might have just heard some applause, and that's because of the moving music. But let's hear that applause again, because we have something to get to right away.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, Paula, I understand that somebody tweeted at you complaining about our audience, or that the laughter was canned or something.
A couple of times, and not, you know, that's not a lot, but a couple of times I've received messages from Twitter followers saying they enjoyed the show, but that they said that canned laughter is beneath you. I would say two things to that. A, nothing is beneath me.
In nearly 20 years of friendship, I can attest to that.
Yeah, nothing has been... And B, okay, we are in a teeny, tiny studio, the Ray Horseman Studios in North Hollywood, California, which I think, generally speaking, is, you know, a lovely residential commercial area.
Right,
but
yes.
There is one strip...
There's one street.
...that no one should ever go to.
And that's where we are.
And that's exactly where we are.
In fact, tonight, I ride my bike here, which one day is going to result in my death. And... Tonight, when I saw you, I had to swerve around a car hood disembodied from the car, a refrigerator, not plugged in because it's on the curb, and a toilet just to come say hi to you.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of housewares, I guess you'd call it.
But not arranged in like a Lowe's or Home Depot kind of way.
No, it's discarded housewares, and I'm not sure who's picking it up or if it's ever leaving or if the person who's using it is just out right now. But anyway, so that's where we are, and we don't have a studio audience the way you think of a studio audience. Tonight we have Doug Turnquist, the tuba player, who is tonight's house band. We have Ray Horseman, our engineer.
Our brilliant engineer.
We have Bonnie Burns.
Our producer and your manager.
Producer and my manager.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who I've learned coping skills with over 24 years.
Now, to be clear, you didn't learn coping alongside Bonnie.
No, you
learned coping skills from dealing with Bonnie.
Yeah.
Because it was unclear the way you said it.
Yeah, she is to teething in a puppy what a rawhide bone is.
Mm-hmm. And plus we have our associate producer.
Associate producer Tony.
Anita Hull.
Anita Hull. Mm-hmm. We have, help me out.
We have Jonah Glickman. He's our muscle tonight.
Jonah Glickman, who we have here to walk our guests to and from their cars.
Yes. Or what's left of their cars.
In case... In case they should encounter the person that's living on that mattress. And then another woman named Lily that's friends with Jonah. And then our guest, who I don't want to give away just yet.
Right.
But that's...
I've already said her name.
Did
Lily
you?
Pettit.
Yeah. Oh, Lily Pettit.
You weren't listening to my intro, were you?
No.
No. But that, ladies and gentlemen, that's who's here.
That's who's here.
If you're hearing laughter, it's not canned. They're just, you know... And it's not because they feel like they have to, because we don't pay a lot.
No.
Yeah.
No. Right. I recently, and this is with everything, this is with everything. This is with my stand-up comedy career.
Uh-huh.
This is with my sales of CDs, books, T-shirts. And I have a remarkably soft tri-poly blend shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back that's available via my website.
Yes.
That's all that. And this newly launched podcast included, plus I do Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Right.
Running all those numbers, I am now making 12 cents an hour.
Wow. So, well, that's good money.
I feel, well, I've kicked it up. So, and actually, Ken Lezepnik, who was also one of the producers, but came and went already tonight because...
And nobody walked him out, so I fear for his life.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken is going to be disemboweled just around the corner.
Right.
When we
fortunately, conveniently near an outdoor toilet.
And the North Hollywood laundromat. Ken left because there was too many people in here and he couldn't fit. But he had a really good point because I told him, I said, some people think it's canned laughter. And he said, why would anyone have canned laughter that sounds like seven people laughing?
Such a good point. I mean, that's that kind of observation that makes Ken such a good writer.
Yeah.
Because if we were going to have canned laughter, it would sound like we had an audience and not just like a couple of
friends
in the back seat.
It's a cheap Chinese canned laughter where they don't really put, you know, they don't really...
You can afford, you know, for the lowest price, we can give you seven people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Where it breaks right after you get it home.
Right.
So anyways, so, you know, for those for whom... and actually, apparently my publicist, Glenn, also said something to my manager, Bonnie.
Okay.
And I, by the way, I have a... I don't know if you'd call it my staff. Okay. I have a shy publicist.
Okay.
Which is very...
Like, cripplingly shy.
Yeah, which is very unusual.
Like a wallflower.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I actually don't know Glenn at all. I've never met him.
He's shy, and I have an agent that doesn't like to make phone calls or shake hands.
Okay. So he's a germaphobe.
Yeah.
And sort of a recluse.
Yeah, so I'm putting a lot of people to work, and I feel good about that. But
you could honestly swap out any of their jobs with each other and get...
More than likely, yeah. It doesn't. but my manager Bonnie, because my publicist Glenn said to her, he said something about the canned laughter as well.
But so, he whispered it.
Sharp as a tack, this guy. he's in the show business, so he recognizes canned laughter when he hears it.
Yeah. Discount canned laughter. All right. Well, let's move it along now that we've introduced our audience to the players on the field.
I just want to say that in a couple of weeks, I'm working in Chico, California.
Okay.
And right now, even as we speak here at the Ray Horseman Studios, my publicist, Glenn, is working his tail off publicizing my Chico appearance.
You're actually using this show to remind your publicist to publicize you.
Here's one of the problems. He's not telling the people in Chico.
Okay.
What he's doing is...
why would he?
What he's doing is asking the people in Vancouver, Canada, if they know anyone in Chico, could they contact them?
I feel
them?
Like for the sake of your career, we should move along here.
Yeah, what do you
we're
think?
We're just doing nothing but insulting your publicist now.
The odds of him hearing it are very, very slim.
Well, in case you don't want to live dangerously, I know this is an advice show, at least nominally. What's your advice this week, Paula Poundstone?
This week's advice is absolutely brilliant, and you're going to bonk yourself in the head with the butt of your hand when you realize you haven't been doing
it. Unless the advice is for God's sakes, for your brain safety, don't bonk yourself in the head.
Yeah, no, that's not the advice. Okay. That's not the advice. The advice is put your cat carriers casually open on your living room floor.
Casually?
Casually open.
I feel like I've done this. Is that so that when it's time to put them in,
right,
they're not surprised that it's there?
So they're comfortable there. The cats like to play in there. They sleep in there. And then when you snap the door shut and take them away, like in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah. Wow. You went kind of dark there.
Yeah, they don't.
I thought we were just taking the cats to the vet, and now we're kidnapping children.
No. Yeah. You take them away, and they're not as freaked out. Because part of the reason cat doesn't like to go to the vet.
Yeah.
Well, the first reason is because it's gross.
Right.
But just the temperature taking alone, I think, is
makes me uncomfortable when I see my pets having to do that.
I always say to the vet tech that takes the cat's temperature, I say, I can tell you, she doesn't have a temperature. I just
you just want to spare her that?
I was petting her. She's
now,
fine.
I want to go back to your advice for a minute because it sounds to me like in order to make this happen, and because you have 14 cats, you're committing to always having open cat carriers scattered about your house.
Yeah.
Is that really good advice?
It's fantastic advice.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Some people don't want open cat carriers strewn about their living
space. Well, what do they want?
Floors to walk on?
Yeah. Well, walk around them.
Okay.
Walk around
I am not bonking myself on the head right now. Now, I will say this, that when I take my cat to the vet, I sometimes take out that carrier early, like earlier in the day.
Yeah.
But I don't make him live alongside the cat carrier and then be
betrayed
by it. My
cats don't live alongside. No, they like to go in it.
Right.
And so the awful trauma of chasing your cat around the house, trying to grab it and shove it in that thing.
That is truly awful.
It is awful.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you were going to the doctor and before you went, someone chased you,
right,
grabbed you, pinned you at the bottom of the kitchen cabinet.
Right.
And then somebody else came in with some sort of a carrier.
Right. Yeah. And this has happened to me.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, are we really?
You're triggering something here. But yeah. I gotta say, that's true, and that's traumatic. I would say equally traumatic is building trust in an animal, making that animal comfortable that this here in this little bag is my safe place, and then zipping it closed and whipping them off to the doctor.
I never said it was their safe place.
No, but you let them feel that way.
Okay, what if instead of an ambulance coming and picking you up when you're injured,
right,
it chased you down the street? And then the attendants from the ambulance got out and, like, cornered you up against a kitchen cabinet and then shoved you in the ambulance.
But you know what I would hate too? Is if the ambulance disguised itself as an ice cream truck and I got accustomed to going there for a delicious ice cream every day. And then one day, all of a sudden, I get pulled in, the door slams down, and they start taking my blood and probing my orifices.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
That's why I try to go vegan.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't eat dairy. Don't eat dairy. It's not good for you.
Moving along then, and thank you for that great advice, Paula.
Thanks.
It's time now to meet our first guest, but let's set it up a little bit. Paula, I know Lily Pettit has helped you declutter and organize your own home.
She has.
Okay.
Yes, she has, and she's great.
And sorry, I just knocked over one of our...
But, Adam knocked over here in the green room at...
Ray Horseman Studios.
Ray Horseman Studios. our catered dinner. Now Adam knocked over his Coca-Cola Light or whatever the hell that is.
I could use help organizing this table. Now, what is it? Now, why did you have to get your stuff organized?
What I really wanted, right, was to have some sort of a system where I could get... At the time when I originally met Lily, I think I still had some kids in the house and just not enough, unless we all agree to go to a 36-hour day,
right.
I don't see how to do it all anymore. And so that was part of it. And things like stuff that I had meant to give away had sort of begun to encroach on me.
Because you weren't giving them away.
Right, exactly. I had in my closet, for example, I had what I've always referred to as a closet bilge.
Closet bilge.
Yeah.
That's assorted things that you meant to get rid of and never did. And you put it in the closet for later getting rid ofness.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And that really the only thing that things in the closet had in common after a while was that I didn't know where to put them.
Oh, okay. So you reached out to Lily and apparently she did a good job because
she's
here on our show.
She is.
So let's find out how we can all get better organized. Lily Pettit is the founder of Clutter Healing. Please welcome organizer Lily Pettit.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Doug.
Hello,
thank
Disney from Doug. Doug, wow, that nice. Is just fantastic. Lily, Lily's very has been moved to tears by the music. That was a whole new world, wasn't it, Doug?
Was it a whole new world?
Disney, bill us later.
So appropriate to getting organized.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. Chosen.
That's what I felt when I first went into my closet after Lily and her assistant had been there.
Now, I want to paint a picture for everybody. Lily, you're an organizer, but for our listeners at home, you are also 8 months pregnant. Is that correct?
That is very true.
Oh, that's an
and the
exciting,
two things are not
time.
Related.
Well, they are about to be. Yeah. Lily, are you getting organized in a very organized way for the big event, for the upcoming baby?
Well, I don't really call it getting organized. Uh-huh. It's more of a being organized.
Oh.
The getting and the being are very different concepts and very different.
Oh, I think I got, but I didn't be.
Is that what happened to Paula? Did she get and then she didn't be and that's why she probably is going to need you again?
I think that there's a sense of coming into scheduling, organizing on a regular basis, mm-hmm. putting it in as a lifestyle choice versus when people say they go and get, I'm going to get organized. It's as if we're going to the Container Store, we're going to buy this thing and it's going to change our life forever.
Yes, where's that?
Yeah, not possible.
Oh.
I hate to break it to you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like start, you know, when you want to lose weight or when you want to get healthy or when you want to start a meditation practice.
I want to do all those
it's
things.
It's something that you have to do every single day.
Right.
It's a lifestyle choice. So it's a being, it's a state of being. It's not a go, I'm going to go get it.
Okay, great.
Lily, are there is there a fix that you do consistently in everybody's house that you go to?
I find that most people who have clutter, it's just delayed decisions. That's all that it is.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's just delayed decisions. And yes, there's always the pile of mail. There's always the pile of returns that never get sent back to Amazon.
Right.
There's always like, oh, I bought that thing and I was going to return it, but I never made it there.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a common theme that I see. Okay. The water bottles that I got for free or the tote bag that was, from that swag bag I got from an event.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
I have tote bag buildup.
It's a constant influx of very similar items.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Paul is in public radio. So.
Yeah. So I have mugs. And totes up the yin yang. And I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, but nobody ever has too many mugs. Right?
I have more coffee mugs than like anyone on, more than like Swiss Miss. Because what happens is, and a lot of people don't realize this, when the cabinet is closed and it's dark, the mugs will reproduce.
Yeah, they won't.
No, they do. They have mug sex in there.
No, they don't have mug sex.
No, and you come back. I'm not sure what the gestation period is. I think it's 24 hours.
Really?
So, you know how
you think two mugs, if they love each other sufficiently, can conceive of and
produce,
kiln up a new mug within 24 hours?
Absolutely. You know how when you close your cabinet and you hear the mugs clink together?
Yeah.
That was the sex.
Wow.
Yeah.
So unsatisfying.
Yeah.
As well as producing more clutter.
Well, now you're judging. I can't speak to whether or not it's satisfying to
you're
a
right.
mug to that clink
was,
another
that was
mug.
Deeply insensitive of me. And if there are any mugs listening, I just want to say that I'll do better. I'll do better. Lily, I want to bring this back to you.
But you're having so much fun. I mean.
Yeah. All right, sorry.
Do you run into sometimes like full-on hoarders?
That's not really my area of specialty.
Okay.
I did grow up with a grandmother who was a hoarder.
Yeah.
My father was borderline that, so I'm very familiar.
And my mom was borderline that, and we knew she was letting stuff get cluttered, but after she passed away, and I just love her to death, but she hoarded shit like you wouldn't believe. She was a novelist, and she'd published nearly 30 novels. Mm. Every draft of every manuscript was there in the house, on paper, printed out, filed away.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Sure. I kind of relate to that.
You can.
Yeah. I mean, I got rid of my drafts, but I did hold on to them for a while. I don't know what I was thinking. At one point, I think, you know, I was like, okay, what if I ever was really successful and they wanted to have a museum?
Oh, is that where you where you were going with that?
I think I did have kind of a fantasy of, I don't know if I gave you the tour when you were in the house, Lily, but I used to, when people come over, I would say, you know, Miss Poundstone spent a lot of time in this room. Miss Poundstone very, very much enjoyed being alone with her thoughts in this chair here.
I think I got that tour from you once.
Yeah,
I didn't realize what was going on until just now.
Yeah, Miss Poundstone's cabinet was fertile for mug sex.
Yeah. Right. And this explains all the little plaques that you have on your wall. Those little plaques that
donated by Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They all say that. They all say donated by Paula Poundstone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very generous. Yeah, so you said it's all about letting go, but they're also one of the great things you guys did was I didn't just let go of everything. Some things were put into a decorative bin.
This is true.
Yeah.
So it is.
You and your assistant would go to, did you go every day to, what's the container?
I mean, pretty much before every session, yes, we would bring something to help contain your belongings and make them have what I call worlds or homes.
Oh, yeah, they did used to say that.
Homes or worlds. So, you know, you have your memorabilia world and you have your photo world and you have a place for all of these things to now live.
Oh.
So when the new versions of said items come in, you know where they belong.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask Lily something. It's very specific to Paula Poundstone and my relationship with her, because it might be the first thing I ever made fun of Paula for, which is, do you have any tips for organizing suitcases for travel?
I don't think I'll let her see the inside of my suitcase.
I'm pretty sure I saw a suitcase.
Yeah.
When Paula travels overnight, it's not an overnight bag. It's like several overnight bags in a duffel, and tons of stuff in it. Unbelievable amount of stuff.
My suitcase is a little bit on the heavy side, partly because, regardless of the length of the trip that I'm going on, the same stuff is in there.
Yeah, now, I want to just throw that right over to our guest. Is that a good idea?
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that, honestly, like, right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and a 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
Use our code.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Does that have to do mostly with your product and that?
No,
as
that's
well?
A whole different suitcase. You mean the one that?
I'm just trying to organize my head around this.
No, exactly. You mean the one that carries the CDs and the books
correct.
And the
tri-poly t-shirts
with the tri-poly blend and the self-portrait on the left breast and the remarkable, memorable quote on the back. No, that's a different suitcase.
Got it.
No, it's the reason my suitcase is a little bit heavy is I have a DVD player in it.
That's one reason.
And it's not a portable DVD player.
Yeah, it probably should be.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just a big one.
She just said, wow. She just went into labor.
Yeah.
Kind of Steve Paul.
I carry a big screen television in my, I live in fear
and you
of getting.
You bring a bunch of DVDs with you, too.
I do. I bring it, because I want to have choices when I get to where I'm going. There's nothing worse than flipping the dial and there's nothing on.
Right, but couldn't you bring. You help me here. This is why you're here, Lily.
And this is because you don't do Netflix.
I don't do Netflix. I don't want to watch something on my computer because I'm working on my computer while I have a little film on DVD.
Listen, there are tons of great little gadgets and zippy pouches and all sorts of things that you can organize, you know, your socks in one and your undergarments in another and your pajamas and your dirty clothes and whatever. But if you are comfortable hauling around a DVD player and a bunch of DVDs,
she's not.
I mean, if it doesn't feel like a burden,
it is a burden.
You got to do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
God. I mean, well, I walk through an airport with her, and it's like we rest every 50 yards.
No, I say, you know.
It falls like she breaks into a sweat, and she's like, I don't know, you want to watch a Columbo?
I mean, it's a choice.
What are these muscles right here on your arm?
Those are biceps.
They're biceps. Yeah. Who wants to go to a workout guy and work on your biceps when you can just carry an extra 50 pounds of luggage and get that same, right? I'm saving time. It's organized, Lily. Okay.
if you say so.
One of the great things that Lily and her assistant did when they were at my house was they organized my markers.
Your markers.
Yeah. Now, did you train your assistant to organize markers like that? Because I loved it. They were organized by color.
I think we really are going to send her.
And they were vertical instead of horizontal.
Uh-huh.
She crafted a box. She took a box that already existed, and then she cut out part of it. And I mean, this was fast. This was like Boo Radley cutting out paper dolls. This was fast how she did it.
Okay.
And then she downsized the size of the original box so that all the pens were tightly enclosed in the box.
And in vertical, so you can see them all.
Right, exactly. Did you teach her to do that?
Instead of stacked on top of one. I mean, it was literally a shoebox with a giant jumble of, you know, pens right. and Sharpies. And it was very hard for us to understand how that functions as
right.
a...
Exactly. That word.
It doesn't.
It wasn't a good marker world. Is
it
that
was
right?
a really bad marker world. Yeah. That home was very cluttered for the markers.
By the way, marker world, worst Pixar movie ever. Really, really bare bones animation. But okay.
So wait. Did you teach? Forgive me, I've forgotten the woman's name. Did you guys still
Sheena.
Work together?
Yes.
Sheena, of course. Did you teach Sheena that technique?
I did not. She actually is just innately blessed with that gift.
She already
look came in a box of writing utensils
wow.
and just whip that into shape.
Yeah. Wow.
And you're into repurposing. So she used what you had.
I am into
she
repurposing.
She made it into something that worked and functioned.
Yeah. I made my son into an umbrella stand. It's great.
And you know, it's work. It's steady work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Especially in LA.
Yeah.
Now,
I guess he's really just hanging out by the door, huh?
Yeah, he's hanging out by the door.
Yeah.
Paula, tell us, how many markers do you currently have in your luggage?
In my luggage?
Yeah. How many markers?
Well, I don't know the number, but it's about 3 pounds.
3 pounds of... Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you have a lot of pens with
yeah.
you.
And yeah, and it's only a couple of colors. It's mostly black.
Okay, for autographs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, Adam, someday I may become popular.
Yeah, you know, you could.
Have you ever seen any of the Beatles documentaries?
Yes.
Yeah, people were all over them.
Right.
Sign this, sign that. Paul, crying.
But by that point,
George.
They had people to hand them markers.
Exactly.
The marker handing person comes along with it. If you were to suddenly get Beatle-level famous, you'd get a marker caddy right away.
No, neither Bonnie nor Glenn are going to carry my markers. Trust me.
I think you that's
know,
probably
my,
true.
You know my publicist, Glenn.
He doesn't go out in public anyway. Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He's very shy.
He's
just very shy. I carry a lot of markers so that if they run out of ink, I have another one.
Right, and you travel to many cities in the United States that don't have markers in them. So.
No, I just like to be self-contained.
Do you want
to
weigh in on this, Lily?
I mean, I just have this visual of the airport excursion and the sweating that's occurring with this dragging and the bag.
Right,
and the whole,
right. Just, right. Now because, double that.
Because I'm... because I, you know, when I pack to go on a trip, I literally figure out how I can take the least amount of stuff possible and
I
just do a carry-on.
I picture you bringing everything in a manila envelope.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just sitting
actually
on...
just all on my phone.
And then just sitting on your hotel bed, bored. To tears because there's nothing on TV and kicking yourself for not bringing your DVD player. Listen, if I turn the TV on and I go flipping around, what are the odds of me finding the Columbo with Jack Cassidy? Very slim.
Very slim.
I think Paula makes a good point.
I think Paula makes an excellent point. You know what I'd like to do? Ray, if you don't mind, when Adam just said Paula makes a good point, could you like record that and cut that out and just...
Why don't one of our listeners out there, cut that little clip and include it in a theme song?
Well, no, I like you could dub it in. What is that called? Edit it in to every show.
Oh,
no matter what Adam actually says to me, I'd like his real words cut out, and I just like Paula makes a good point.
Yeah, I would hope that would never happen.
Yeah, this is a very honest show. We don't have a laugh track, you know. We just have people here. There is no laugh track.
Okay, so let me bring one more question back because I think this is an important one, and Paul and I both know how this goes. You're about to have a child, right? Are you concerned that this is going to make you a less organized person?
No.
Really? So you've got no concern?
No, I think that there is this perception that parents buy into, and I've been told, you know, and people are obviously, they're very interested to know, what are you going to do with all the stuff and the art projects and the, you know, it's kind of like...
Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking art projects.
No, that kid's art project is going in the trash the day he brings it home, I can tell you. Yeah, that's how she was with my kid's art projects.
Right.
She said, what's this? I had a toilet that my son had made out of paper. It was small. It was about 3 inches by 3 inches.
I think I just saw it out on the streets.
And he'd made a toilet, and I used to keep my paper clips in there. Do you remember that?
Yes,
and you
I
were
do.
Like, what is this? And I said, Thomas, he made it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, do you really need that? And she got rid of it. So her kid's stuff is going, like, your kid should be warned. Don't bring your stuff home.
Don't get attached to your art.
Yeah, put it in that. No, I'm just safe over at the
acquirer. Just get a storage unit and don't tell your mom about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no trouble getting rid of my kid's art when its time has come.
But when its time has come? When? What day will that be, Adam?
Thursday. But
I have a feeling that if you have more than one kid, you'll alphabetize them.
Yeah.
It's just a feeling that I
probably
have.
Probably start with a name towards the front of the alphabet.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Options.
Yeah. So do you know if the baby's a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I think Annabelle is going to have a very, very happy life.
The name is actually closer to the middle of the alphabet, so I'm going to have to get
creative.
Oh, have
you chosen the name already?
I have.
What?
Olivia.
Olivia. Oh, that's nice.
That's a really good name.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nickname options.
A lot of good nicknames with Olivia.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have a cat named ShamWow, and I'm just putting that out there. You know, I confess that my desk did sort of regrow much of what it had. In fact, there's a Christmas present wrapped still sitting on my desk right now. And I can
maybe it's for you.
I think it is for me. Yeah, I didn't give it. Yeah, and I'm wondering, short of having you and Sheena come back and fix it, is there some technique that I should use to fix it myself?
How much time every week are you dedicating to going through the desk?
How much time every week am I dedicating to going through the desk? Zero?
Right.
All right. So should I be dedicating time to go through the desk every week?
So what I recommend to people is that you set aside some time every week, usually on a Sunday, you know, or on a Monday morning. Give yourself 30 minutes to really look at what is going on there, because usually for someone like you specifically, I know you're collecting business cards, you're getting contact information, you're meeting a lot of people, you have notes that you're writing down for your shows and everything. I mean, there's a lot of markers going on. Yeah.
I want you to know, Lily, that those markers go right back in that box that Sheena made for me.
Still?
Yeah.
Are they still vertical?
They are still vertical. And also, okay, maybe this guy. One of the things that Sheena, Lily's assistant, did was she lined up, and this makes me tingly to think about it. She lined up my scotch tape containers. We found a lot of scotch tape containers on my desk in different places because I love adhesive strips. And they lined them up side by side with the, you know, with the slicing edge all on the same end. It's a thing of beauty.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in case you needed to simultaneously get and cut 5 different pieces of tape.
Yeah.
Of equal length.
It could be done.
It could be done. All right, well, thank you, Lily Pettit. My brain feels more organized already. Paula, what advice, now that you've heard it from Lily and you've worked with her, can you give our listeners about how to get more organized?
Adam, I think I've organized the organizer's advice, and I'm going to distill it down for you. Doug, if I could have a little tuba essence behind my advice. Thank you. The clutter that most people have is just delayed decision making. When something comes into your house, decide quickly if you need it, and that includes guests. Spend 30 minutes each week going through your desk. Sundays are a good day, and if you're supposed to be in church, tell them you forgot to plan it. Organizing is all about letting go. Get rid of your kids' art before they even create it. In fact, don't even buy them crayons. And if you do, store them vertically.
Lily Pettit is a professional organizer and founder of Clutter Healing. Thank you so much for being on our show. The cat of the week is Kahlua from Alhambra. Thank you, house band Doug Turnquist. And now,
the spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. My God, I'm enjoying that. Thank you, Doug. Time now for the segment that we call Movie Reviews to Save You the Trouble of Seeing the Sequel. And we don't actually call it that, but it is an apt description of what the idea is.
Really rolls off the tongue, though.
Yeah, I know. We're going to need to punch that up a little bit. Ken Lezebnik, I know you're not here tonight on Miranda Street, but if you did make it back to your car alive, let's punch up that title.
Yeah. Ken's not here because he doesn't fit.
Yes. So there's a sequel coming out to the classic 1980s film Predator. Yeah. And it's called The Predator, and they really spent a lot of time on that title.
Yeah.
And
trust me, there were meetings.
Yeah. Right.
There were
Can
meetings.
We call it just Predator again?
Yeah. And,
no.
No, that's crazy.
How about if we just leave off the R at the end?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Somebody said, I need an article. Anybody got an article?
Somebody's like, A.
No!
No! You're a predator! It makes him less special!
No, you idiot. That guy's been fired.
You're fired!
That guy's...
We're fired!
Yeah, you're gone. And then that one, you know, and the thing is, he wasn't really a productive member of the staff in the past. He wasn't sure of himself, but a little hand went up in the back of the room and the guy said...
torpedoed his career.
You, Higgins! And he said, how about that?
Whoa.
The room
that
went,
man is now running a studio.
The room went hush. Yeah. That.
All right. Well, the Predator is coming out. And so Paula came over last night and watched the original Predator so that we can tell you now whether it's worth watching the new one.
Now, Adam, I know that there's going to be other people like myself who never even saw the original.
There are seven people left in the country who's never seen the original.
You're kidding me.
It's,
really?
It was really, really a hit. I love that you had never seen it.
I had never seen it. Honestly, I'm not even sure I'd ever heard of it before. Okay, I don't want to wreck it for the seven people, but...
You could.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers are these two sleeveless members of the cast that are part of an elite military team that gets dropped by a helicopter into the jungle to rescue hostages from some rebel encampment. After a series of grunts, gunfire, and explosions, they seem to have success. Arnold maneuvers his team out of the encampment, and they are soon set upon by an alien space monster who can go invisible in the trees and keeps disemboweling and skinning them. The screenplay was written by Jim and John Thomas. And
did you write that synopsis?
No, I thought it up.
It's great.
Thank you very much.
It's absolutely great.
Thank you very much.
That tells the whole story of the movie.
It doesn't tell any of the nuances.
Well, we'll
of the
get
movie.
To that. That's the point
no,
of a review.
There were no nuances
yes,
in the
were.
Movie. There was not one nuance. There was. It started out like when Arnold Schwarzenegger, and by the way, also Jesse Ventura.
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Right. So the former governor of Minnesota and then the former governor of California. So
oh, and that at that time, future governor of those two states.
And I'm assuming then that the Predator will have, starring Chris Christie.
No.
And Rick Scott, I believe.
It's not. It would be future governors and also not.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
No, I'm pretty
you
sure.
You know
it's
nothing
not.
About the film.
I do know something
the
about the
future film.
This is interesting.
The Predator is starring Chris Christie and Rick Scott.
Couldn't be less helpful at this moment.
No, this is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And Chris Christie, very much like both Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers, who were the sleeveless characters.
Oh no.
Yeah. Chris Christie will be sleeveless.
Only because they couldn't find sleeves for him.
Now,
from the very start, when Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger meet up, they were, I guess, they had done work yeah. together before, but they have this handshake where they begin arm wrestling.
It's like air arm wrestling without the elbows down.
What part of the...
That's the bicep.
So there's a big... Wow. It's a movie that very much focuses on biceps.
Like to kind of an alarming degree.
Yeah.
Movie aficionados remember...
become a character.
Yes. The greased up man flesh becomes a character. Yeah. It's kind of... And it's a movie kind of for guys. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, back in the day, Top Gun was a huge, huge hit. And now in latter years, it's become known as a, wow, that is for a film made for straight men. That's one of the gayest films ever made. And I feel like maybe Predator kind of belongs a little bit in that category, too.
Because of the greased biceps?
You would say that there's a lot of greased flesh in that movie.
There is a lot of grease. I'll tell you, for me, this film broke ground quickly as the master of the long, slow, close-up stare. There was
yes.
a tremendous amount of close-ups to the degree that they may have filmed it without all the actors ever in the same room.
Or same jungle.
They may have just done one guy's day and then the next guy's day because so often there were these close-ups.
And it was almost like a collection of little short stories, but the ending to the story for all of them except one of them was exactly the same, which is that Predator kills you.
Yeah, well, the Predator did disembowel and skin
a lot
everyone
of
with no real explanation as to why. Like, what was...
Well, you find out, and I love that they don't do this
no,
through
you
dialogue.
You never found out.
Well, he's polishing up their skulls. He's obviously, you know, he's a sport
hunter. Oh, wait,
hunter.
Right, he had a skull
keeping,
collection.
Keeping,
you're right,
he's
I found...
skulls. Yeah.
I forgot about
trophies,
that.
As it were.
He
and
did.
I kind of like that they don't spend... that they don't have some character in a lab coat going, well, as a xenomorphic scientist, I say that this is some sort of super predator hunting us.
Yeah. No, he
I'm
just...
I'm glad that guy isn't
I totally
in the movie.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
There was kind of a tender part of the film where the Predator had his skull collection up in a tree,
right,
and he was setting it out. It kind of took a page from the Glass Menagerie.
Right.
It was very Glass Menagerie at that
right.
point, very Tennessee
Slightly
Williams.
Slightly less tragic for the Predator, I guess.
Yeah.
Although
no,
he was
and then
about
you saw him limp a little bit, and you realized, he's been disfigured.
Wow, yeah, he's got pleurosis.
I will say that what I think happened in terms of the dialogue is that the way that it was written by the brothers, Jim and Jay...
We don't no, don't look it up.
This is so important.
It's not.
This is what Jim and John Thomas,
right.
You know, Mrs. Thomas's youngest too.
Yeah.
What I think happened was the way they wrote the dialogue was they had wooden tiles like in Scrabble, but on each tile there was a classic overused line of action dialogue.
Oh, so you think it was just an assortment of action
exactly
lines.
And they flipped them over with the lines facing down.
Can you give us an example of some of the lines? I know that I saw you scribbling furiously while I was indulging in the pleasures of action movies.
Here's one we've never heard.
Yes.
He's busted up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. Yeah. So
but that wasn't entirely random because that guy had just taken a tree trap to the
He was
torso.
Busted up pretty bad. And then there was the classic and perhaps overused, I can make it. I can make it.
Yeah, that's only said by people who can't make it.
Yeah.
That's like somebody coughing in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're dead.
Yeah. I got a score to settle. That was right. No one ever heard that before in an action film. But for people who like that line, you'll be gratified to know that it was followed by, we both got scores to settle.
Nice.
So this creature... from alien
from Predator
race,
land, yeah,
there, that
yeah.
has come from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
He did have this.
He's got heat vision.
He did. He had heat vision. He could see everybody moving, unless they had clay all over them, which Arnold Schwarzenegger discovered.
He can't see the clay.
Yeah, he rolled. Wow, that was good.
I'm going to try to lose him in a pottery barn.
He did at one point. He did. Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he's all by himself, at one point, he actually says aloud. I mean, the scene, all his other friends are dead now.
Yes.
And the guy's coming after him, but he's a long ways away.
Uh-huh.
He's walked past him, I guess, is what happened.
Sure.
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger, while laying underneath a bunch of vines and leaves, he goes, he can't see me.
Yeah. He can't see me.
Like, who are you talking to, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
You know, that's the only objection I have to that last half hour of the movie. Because the last half hour...
That's the only objection you have to the last half hour
of the movie?
Because
I love the last half hour because it's just like
what
a silent movie Predator chase.
What does this tell you about Adam Felber?
The only thing I don't like about it is when Arnold Schwarzenegger talks, because it's always to say something we're already aware of anyway.
Right. That right. He didn't see him. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I'm still breathing.
So many of us, when we're...
It's very hot in the jungle.
So for you, the only thing that took you out of the reality of the film was Arnold Schwarzenegger saying he can't see me?
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
No,
in your
I said
own
the
way.
Only thing I objected to.
That was the only thing. But no, Adam was totally wrapped up in it. He was on the edge of his seat.
Once everybody but Arnold's dead, I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, yeah. I had to keep turning to him and saying it's only a movie, Adam. It's
only
a movie.
Yeah, because I was trembling and crying at times.
So the alien has this armor on, and as he gets near, here's the other thing. When the army people were trying to kill the alien, they had exhausted all their bullets and all their weaponry.
Right, because they freaked out.
So they started using,
jungle traps.
They made jungle traps with vines, and they pulled back trees, and they made catapults, and they put like wooden spikes on things, and blah blah blah. Never apparently fearing the monster showing up at that moment.
Which is weird.
As soon as they completed building it,
the monster comes by.
They all sat and waited for the monster to come by, and of course he would come minutes later. They were this close to saying, "Monster, we finished building the traps."
Yeah.
It wasn't very believable.
In terms of guerrilla warfare,
way.
It was the closest you'll get to like Marquis of Queensbury rules. They really, there was like, well, I'll wait till you finish the traps and then I'll show up and get around the traps. And...
Yeah, we don't shoot on Christmas Day.
it just wouldn't be sporting.
and I have to, all right, so the alien in the like last battle scene with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Arnold has rigged up a booby trap that involves a large log that would come down vertically like a well-stored marker and land on the top of the monster's head.
The monster would have to be standing in a very specific place for this to work at all.
The monster happened to be standing on that very specific place
and also
happened to have just taken off his helmet.
I got to say, given the extreme size and weight of that log, I don't think the helmet would have protected him much anyway.
Well, but it didn't kill him. In a little bit, he's back up. He had no helmet.
Yeah.
See, this is what's going to make the NFL continue, is a scene like that.
A scene like that. And I want to say, though, I love when he takes off that helmet. You have to give it up for Stan Winston and the practical effects in that movie, because that was one fantastic-looking alien.
It was an alien. I have to say, it was, and this is where when you say, like, it's a gay men's movie.
I didn't say that.
You said it was a...
I said, I think there's a lot of candy in that movie for men who may not know they're gay.
You said it was...
Because it's a movie made for men about men
that didn't know they were gay.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is that what I was perceiving as fear in you wasn't fear.
Oh, you're saying that I was aroused?
You were a little bit aroused by that. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in
that. I would not be ashamed if that were the case.
No. Okay, here's the thing. That monster, and you said everybody but seven people has seen this, so I know that my Twitter feed is going to be full of people saying Paula has a good point right now.
Okay.
Which is sort of the new phrase that everyone says about
it. It really isn't.
That monster, his mouth looked like a vagina with teeth in front of it.
It did.
It did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
very much.
So
you're helping develop my theory that this movie is for closeted gay men in the 80s.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Yeah. It says to them, no, don't go near the vagina. Look
scary.
At the teeth.
Yeah. Go back to Carl Weathers where it's safe.
You.
Very interesting point. I can't say you're wrong because those mandibles were scary and they were over a kind of...
There was a little bit more
gynophobia in the movie, too, when you think about it, because going back to the beginning, the characters were developed through very, I'd say, primitive means. There's one character where his thing, his personality, shaves.
Oh, there's one guy that was shaving.
Yes.
Yeah. Even under stress, while they're hiding from the alien,
he took out his razor and shaved.
And there was another guy who kept making pussy jokes.
That's why I brought that up. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he had... And it was very specific.
And it was a shame that he died early, because for a guy who enjoys a pussy joke, he would have loved that monster.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He never got to see the ultimate pussy joke.
The ultimate pussy joke was,
No, but it was interesting. He did tell two jokes. And his thing was that he tells these jokes, and they're dirty jokes, and he explains them. He has to explain them because the rest of his squad aren't really very well-versed in the ways of comedy. But they're also both jokes about unusually large and capacious pussies.
Yeah.
They were both jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unusual.
He, you know, as a comic, that's a really niche.
yeah.
you know, sometimes...
But maybe that's why they hired him. Maybe that squad, really, that's what they liked.
Well, I can guarantee you that Jim and John Thomas,
right.
You know, every now and then when you're working on a project or when a show is working or a movie, you know, they'll need someone who brings a particular skill
right.
to the script, maybe. So mm-hmm. my guess is that Jim and John... Not great large pussy joke writers.
Right.
They could do the small pussy jokes.
Right.
But they finally, they had to farm out the large pussy.
So they hit
pussy.
The clubs, you're saying. They probably hit Sunset Boulevard and went to
the comedy store. And
yeah.
they went to Mitzi Shore, who was alive at the time, and yeah. they said, you got anybody who does large pussy jokes?
She's and like, well.
This is before the internet. And so she pulled out.
A Rolodex.
So huge. No, it was a file cabinet,
right.
but it was like right. it was like, you know, the yeah. letter S in a library.
Right.
You know, it was yeah. big. Yeah. No, it is a terrible, terrible movie.
Wow. There's a lot of people no. who disagree with you. Now, I think there are definitely terrible aspects to it.
No, it is not a good movie. The story makes no sense.
Of course it makes sense. Almost nothing happens. I mean,
what do you mean nothing happens? People are disemboweled and skinned
by a high-tech alien hunting them for sport.
Trust me, if that comes up in your life,
yeah,
you're gonna feel something happened. You know,
right?
If you're riding your bike over here
what
to
I'm saying
Ray
is
Horseman
of...
Studios someday,
sure.
and you are disemboweled,
which is quite
trust
likely
me,
in this
you're
neighborhood.
You're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to the review. So now The Predator is coming out in theaters, and people want to know: do I go see this new movie based on your experience with the very original Predator movie and not having seen all the sequels? What do you say, Paula?
Do not go see The Predator. And for all but seven of you have seen Predator.
Right.
If there's any way you can unwatch it, do right. so.
Okay, that's your advice. I'd say maybe go see it if you like that kind of movie. So that.
What do you mean? What do you mean if you like that kind of
the
movie?
Kind
what
of
kind
movie
of
with
a
alien
review
hunters.
Is that?
Yeah.
If you like bad movies, this is one for you.
I think there's more subtlety to it than that.
That's
but,
a very
right.
gentle review there,
well, look,
Addison DeWitt.
Well, look. You're giving it a thumbs down. I'm giving it a thumbs sideways. It's clearly not for everyone.
I'm not giving it a thumbs down. I'm down all the way up to my bicep,
your whole
which
arm
is
down.
Bulging and greased right
that's
now.
That's quite a greased and bulging. I'm distracted by your bicep. Okay, so that's it. That's our movie review to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel. Thank you, Doug Turnquist. If you have a question for Paula, email it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And if you have a theme song for us, email it to the same address, nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Paula, I know you're always on the road. That's kind of a thing that Paula Poundstone does. What have you got coming up?
Well, Adam, on September 17th at the New Road School in Santa Monica, I'm hosting a panel of experts to talk about the effect of screen devices on kids' brains. On September 20th, I'll be at the Criterion Theater at the Collier Center in Medford, Oregon. And on September 21st, I'll be in Chico, California. My publicist right now is
Glenn.
In Vancouver, Canada, ginning up audience members
yeah.
for my Chico date.
Right.
I'm going to be in Chico, California at the Laxon Auditorium. You can get all the information at my website, www.paulapoundstone.com. And I think you can even get... my t-shirts there.
Now, and before we go into the kind of t-shirts you offer there, and we will get to it as soon as we stop recording, I'm going to cut you off because nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
It's remarkably soft.
Try Polly Glenn. Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone.
With a self-portrait on the left
and yours truly, Adam Felber.
And a memorable, remarkably memorable
produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezevnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, tuba virtuoso, Doug Turnquist. And to our guest, Lily Pettit. Tonight's burly security guard is Jonah Glickman.
You know, the tri-poly blend is very soft. It's very, very soft.
Sign off time, Paul.
Yeah. That's our show for tonight, you guys. Thank you so much. Won't somebody please listen to me?
I think Paula makes a good point.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.